Happy to be here this morning, and I greet you in the precious name of Jesus. Just a little explanation why I showed up here, probably unexpected to most of you. I have a nephew that passed away here about 2 weeks ago, and there's a memorial service for him this afternoon, and I plan to attend that, and therefore I'm in this area. Along with that, I was at the funeral yesterday and probably will be at the one tomorrow, Lord willing. When I came in the vanity room, there was a few men back there, and they were guessing how many of the congregation I would know. Somebody thought 89%, and then somebody else thought probably 69%. It is 25 years since I've stood in this place on a regular basis. And things do change. We all change. 25 years, there was a lot of you were not present in this congregation. And a lot of you that were have changed along with me. But, you know, God's word is always true and faithful. And we can trust in that. And I'm glad that we can find fellowship in various parts of the country. And those who are serving the Lord with a true heart, full assurance of faith, that we can worship together in a way that God can honor and bless. This morning, being the first Sunday of a new year, and sometimes a new year is likened to a new fallen snow. And you look out across, and there's no tracks. You look back, the year that just passed, and there's a lot of tracks. Some that we're glad for, and some that we wish wouldn't have happened that way. This morning, as I was driving over here from the east, and I came to the crossroad out here a little ways, and there was a sign that the bridge is out. And this new snow, or sleet, or whatever mixture that we had, there was no tracks on the road ahead. I thought, what an example, you know, of a new year. There's no tracks there. I don't know how long the bridge has been out, and I don't know how long it'll be till it's back in, but sometime there will probably be tracks there again. And this year, as we look at 2021, is like that road without any tracks. But it's up to us to make sure that the tracks we do leave are in the right place, in the right way. And so the title of the message this morning is Royal Resolutions. And you might say, resolutions? Why would somebody spend time talking about things that people promise and then forget about as soon as they promised? Well, the things we want to talk about this morning, I hope you have goals for, have had these goals, and you will continue to have these goals in your life. Turn to Psalm 101. This psalm was written by David when he became king, and he made what I picked out 14 resolutions of things that will happen and will not happen in his kingdom. And I think they're good goals for us today as we face a new year, that we can also have these goals. And I believe that many of us have had many of these goals up to this point. And so we want to read this psalm and then look at a number of things here that David said that we can also claim for our life and our guide in life. Psalm 101, I will sing of the mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes, and I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me, and I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privately slanders his neighbor, him will I cut off, and him that hath an high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. Will not I suffer? Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me, and he that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Now, a resolution is just something that we decide and we try to maintain. We determine something, and there's many different resolutions that people make. Some common ones are maybe to get up a little earlier, or to lose some weight, or to exercise daily, or to not argue or fight with your spouse, or to be honest, to go to church, to give a number of hours in community service, not to be untruthful, telling lies, not to be using things that would be detrimental to our health, such as tobacco, alcohol, drugs, and so on. Spend more time with the family, be a better worker, be a better father, mother, or wife, and so on. And you could liken it a little bit to cleaning the chimney and getting all the old dirt out of the chimney and having a new fresh start with the clean chimney. Wipe away the faults, the bad habits, to take them out of our life and have a better new year. And some people even go to the point of riding these resolutions on a kite and flying it up as high as it'll go until it runs out of string and then let it go. There's a saying that says, may your troubles not last any longer than your resolutions. The resolutions that we want to talk about this morning, I hope, are enduring and that they will last longer than your troubles. And we'll come to them shortly. We can, as Christians, God's people, people that have been redeemed by His blood, and have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we can make goals and resolutions, and by God's help, keep them. It's possible. You just look around and see some faithful people that have been faithful for many years. It is possible. And I take courage and for my own life that I can continue to be faithful, no matter how ugly and how scarred and how many mistakes I made in the past. We can go on from here and be faithful, every one of us. And it doesn't matter who you are this morning, doesn't matter what family you're from, you can be faithful to God. And so we want to look at these things here that David had committed himself to, and we can also commit ourselves to the first one then. I have is found in verse 1, and I've titled it this way, I will praise God. He says, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. And when we have a determination to praise God, no matter what happens tomorrow or this evening, no matter what, we have decided already that we're going to praise God, it will make it easier to praise God, won't it? Instead of deciding, well, did everything go okay today? Did, you know, and I could, we could put a lot of things in there, but, and decide on the things that happened, whether I should praise God now is not a good idea. We will praise God. And so we make a resolution this morning that every day throughout this coming year, throughout the remainder of our life, we will praise God. Sure, there will be times of misunderstanding. There will be times when people don't understand. David, you know, had to flee for his life, and he had to hide in a cave and all of that, and yet he praised God through all of that. He understood that God had a purpose for what he allowed in his life. And we need to understand that not all the days in 2021 will be exactly like we wish they would be. We need to understand that there will be, because we're still in this life, there will be times that will not be pleasant. There will be things that will happen that would not be the way we would like them to be. Not all sunshine. We need to understand that not all people will understand us. And not everything we're planning to do will come to pass because we are human. And sometimes we have goals that God cannot bless, and then he changes that for us. And we need to accept that. We need to look for the things that we can praise God for. Look for the things that we can praise God for. And so the first resolution is that I will praise God. I will praise God. The second one then I see is found in verse 2. And I've said it this way, well, it's the way David said it, I will behave myself wisely. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Now, we understand that we as humans are not perfect and that we do make mistakes. But I believe that this word perfect could be made to say blameless. I believe that's what it means. I will behave myself wisely in a blameless way. And so that while others look on, we can understand that our way is that which God can bless. And they're not haphazard. We're not just aimlessly drifting here and there throughout life, but we have a goal to behave ourselves in a way that God can bless. We will behave ourselves wisely. I will set up and be regulated by standards. You know, we need that. I need that. We need to have standards that we will guide ourselves by, be regulated by those standards, so that we can behave ourselves wisely. I believe we can say, I will not be swayed by situational ethics. You know, where something that's not really right is right because of this or that. No. We will not be swayed by situational ethics. I don't know what will happen the rest of the day or what will happen this year, but I know one thing. What's right is always right, and what's wrong is always wrong. And situation does not change it. Just because he did so-and-so does not make it right for me to do some wrong thing. Not be swayed by situational ethics. Sin and wrong will always be wrong and sinful, always. So I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. The third resolution then that I see is found in verse 2 also. And he says, I will want God's Spirit with me, and I will look for his coming for me. He said it this in his own words, when will thou come unto me? I will walk within my house in a perfect heart. He was looking for God. And you know, we know by studying the Bible that the Lord did come. He came as a babe in the manger, and a lot of people missed it. And a lot of people never got past that point and still want to keep him there and not leave him be Lord of their life. But we also know from the Bible that he is coming again. He is coming again. And we need to keep that in mind. And as we think about how big we should grow our business, our other things, what investment to make and so on, we need to keep in mind that God is coming again. And when he comes, the Bible says, we will, every eye shall see him, and every knee shall bow to him. We need his Holy Spirit's help that we can be ready for that day, because there is a day coming when he will come, and we need to be ready for that. And so I will daily ask God for his Holy Spirit's presence with me. You know, it's a wonderful thing. The Holy Spirit, I love to talk about the Holy Spirit. You all know that. But Jesus said, he that is with you shall be where? In you. And that was a transition from the Old Testament time to the New Testament time, to the church today, that we have the Holy Spirit's presence dwelling in us. The Bible says that when Samson went down, the Holy Spirit came on him because he had a certain job for him to do. And there's other examples of that in the Old Testament, how the Holy Spirit came upon people for a specific work at a specific time. But today, the Holy Spirit that they knew about is in us. He dwells in us. And that's and John is full of 14, 15, 16 about the Holy Spirit, what he'll do for us, a comforter and a teacher and guide us in all truth and all of that. And so I will daily ask God for his Holy Spirit's presence with me. I need the Holy Spirit's presence, and you need it too. We all need it. And God will allow that. It's one of the blessings of the New Testament church. I said at home, at Shining Light, that, you know, in another message, it would have been exciting to live back there in Elijah's time and see the water, the fire come down and lick up all the water and eat up all the stones and all of that. It would have been exciting, wouldn't it? Yeah, it would have been exciting. Some of the other things that we read about in the Old Testament that happened, but there is no time that I would rather be alive than right now, because God's blessing on the church. Well, I need to move on. So I will be looking for the Lord's return, and I will live my life as though this was the last day. Why? Because it might be. Okay, the fourth one then, he says, I will not be a different person when I'm at home or away from home. Found in verse 2, he said, I will walk within my house in a perfect heart. Sometimes we meet people, and it's sad when you know someone that is totally different when you're in a group like this or when you're at home. And that's sad. That's very sad. But it happens sometimes. And I think we need to all commit that we will not do that. I will not be a different person to you than I am at home. Because God wants us to be genuine. He don't want us to be fakes and put on fronts. He wants us to have a genuine heart experience in serving him. And so I will not be a different person when I'm away. I will not treat my family different than I treat a customer that I'm trying to sell to. I will treat them with love and respect. I will be kind and courteous to my children. And I will not be a hypocrite, but will be genuine as possible. I think we all would desire that. The next resolution that I see is the fifth one, is found in verse 3. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. He said the exact words that David said, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Today's age, we have a lot of means of wicked things. And it's, I don't know the future, but I don't think it's going to get any better. It'll probably just increase. The ways of setting wicked things before our eyes. You know, when I was the age of these boys up here, Loyal's, I guess, are your boys, I'd have heard the word internet. I wouldn't have had any idea what in the world that is, because it wasn't. You know, if I'd have heard a smartphone, what's that? You know, we didn't even have cell phones when I was young. In fact, I remember my first cell phone I bought after we lived in Mississippi, and it was about this size. It was called a bag phone. And I told the man that was selling it to me, I said, I hope I make sure I get the right case when I go to church, because it looks like my Bible case. It was the same size. And yeah, you could make a phone call on it, but that's about all you could do. But you know how things, I don't need to tell you the way that things have progressed and the technology and all that. But David said, and he didn't have TV, and he didn't have cell phones, smartphones, and he didn't have the internet, but there were still wicked things. There always was wicked things. There will always be wicked things for people with corrupt minds, always. And we need to decide that I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I don't want to allow anything to enter in for my eye gate that will hinder my love and loyalty for the Lord. And we could use the eye gate, the ear gate, and other ways, but there's something about seeing things that I think is more, sticks more in our mind than hearing. Okay. I can hear some things and I can forget those things easier than things that I actually see. And so he said, David said, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I will not look at books or any kind of form of pornography. I will not watch the TV or the VCR or any forms of things like that. I will not continue to look after a woman who's immodestly dressed. I will not go and watch things that are not fit to see. I will set my goals that I can please God. The Bible, who was it that said, why should I look upon a maid? The end of the verse. But anyhow, I believe that was Solomon. But why, we need to be careful, brethren and sisters, of what we look at. We must be careful. The sixth one that I see, found in verse 3, I despise the evil ways and want none of them to become part of me. He said in verse 3, I hate the work of them that turn aside, and it shall not cleave unto me. Evil communications corrupt good manners, the Bible says. I will not have unbelievers work in my kingdom. I will limit my associations with the unbelievers so that I do not pick up their bad habits. We need to be careful, brethren and sisters. Bible, John 17, Jesus said, I pray not that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil that's in the world. And we need to be on our guards that we can be kept from the evil that's in the world. The seventh place, then, I see, he says, I will not use a person with a froward, and that means cross, or perverse heart. And that's found in verse 4. A froward heart, a cross heart, shall depart from me, and I will not know a wicked person. I believe to have the blessing of the Lord in our life, we may not be unequally yoked, and all must pull in the same direction. And that varies. It can be expanded into different areas of life. but I will need to keep moving here. I'm going to run out of time. I will not use a person that does not have a heart after God. And you know, this Christian life is a challenge, and we need all the help we can get. You understand what I'm saying, I think. You know, and I need your help, and I tell my congregation that I need your help to be faithful, and I hopefully you need mine too. We're in this together, and we need to help each other, encourage each other, and continue on to be faithful. And I'm certainly glad for the help that I received from individuals in this congregation over the years. Okay, the eighth one, in verse 4, I will not become intimate with a wicked person. He says in verse 4, the end, I will not know a wicked person. I will not become intimate with a wicked person. Have a close friendship, have a bond, a tie that binds us together. The Bible says, whosoever is a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And I will not, I will watch closely and choose carefully my close friends. We need to have the help of each other, and we need to make sure that our friends are the right kind that do help. The ninth one then that I see is found in verse 5, I will have no time for gossip or talebearing. Verse 5, he says, whoso privately slanders his neighbor, him will I cut off. Sometimes people get involved in gossip. Stories that would be better off not said. Is it true? Well, it might be, but it might not be. Might be partly true, might not be. But I think as a Christian, our responsibility is not to start or to pass on gossip. And so we can make the goal this morning that I won't have time for that. There's other things that are more beneficial than passing on information that really is not part of the solution to the problem. The Bible says the wounds of a talebearer go down into the innermost parts. Where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. And so let's not be involved in sharing or continuing on in gossip. I will have no part in talebearing, either in hearing or telling. The tenth one, I find in verse 5 also, I will not use a person who is controlled by pride. He says in verse 5 that him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. A high look and a proud heart. Bible says that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. I think we need to have the goal that we will have strive for humility first in our own personal life and then for those that we associate with, that we can be an humble and a contrite spirit. 11th one, found in verse 7. I will not use those who are deceitful. Verse 7, he said, he that worketh deceit shall not dwell in my house. Why would you want a person that's deceitful anyhow? Trickery, deceit, have a hardening effect on us to sin, certainly. I will not stoop to deceit or lies or to be deceived. We need to be careful. We need to live upright and pure lives and not use trickery or deceit or have those that use those things in close company with us. The 12th place, then, I find in verse 7, I will not put use there them that lie. He said in verse 7, he that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. Do you know that in the Revelation, the last book in the Bible, the last two chapters of the Bible, when it talks about abominable murderers, whoremongers, and things like that, you know what the end of that verse is? It says, and all liars shall have no part. All liars? Just to tell a lie? Something that's not quite true? Make somebody believe something that really isn't the way it was? Three times in the last two chapters it gives a warning about lying. And I think that's serious. And we need to take heed to that. We need to take heed to that. We need to be honest people. And we need to know that when you say something, I need to know that I can trust it, that that's the way it is. And we need that for ourselves and we need that in others. There's a reason that the Bible gives that warning in the two last chapters. Three different times it talks about lying and not having their part in heaven. The next one I want to look at is in verse 8. I will seek to eliminate evil and wickedness. He said in verse 8, I will early destroy all the wicked of the land. I mean, cut off all the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Now, we're not going around with swords and other methods to eliminate people's lives. No, certainly not. But we need to recognize that the Bible says a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And personally, I would have the goal that early in the morning, I'll search my own heart for any evil. I will eliminate the evil, he says, destroy the wicked from the land, cut off the wicked doers from the earth. And that starts right here. I need to do it right here. Before I look at you, I need to do it here. And so every morning, I need to search my own heart. And every evening, did I walk with the Lord today? Or did I allow something to come into my life that he can honor and bless? We need to have a personal commitment that we will walk with him on a daily basis. In our homes, I think we need to early in life teach our children that and help them to accept the Lord and live for him alone. In our businesses, we need if there's any wickedness discovered, that we will early dismiss that person. And in our churches, we will confront and seek to eliminate any evil in the bud stage. And we're human enough to know that that's not just a one-time thing. That's a continual job. And I don't need to tell you that. For the last one, then, the 14th one, I'll go back to verse 6. I will look for and use those who are faithful and whose aim is to do right. In verse 6, he says, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. And he that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. God's blessing can rest upon those whose heart is right toward him. And we all want that, don't we? We all want a heart that is after God. And there's examples, there's many examples, I'll just refer to a few, in the Bible that people were blessed because of someone else. The first one I think of is Laban was blessed because of Jacob. Laban actually experienced material blessings because of Jacob serving there. Is someone experiencing material blessings because of your life as a servant or as an individual. And then another one I thought of was Potiphar. Potiphar was blessed because Joseph was in his house and did his work faithfully. The Bible explains that clearly. And so today I believe that we need to commit that we will be faithful so that others can also be blessed. Well, as we think about these resolutions that David made, we can make them for ourselves, and we can claim them for ourselves, and we can use them to guide our life and continue to serve the Lord. And remember, we have the Holy Spirit's help. We have it easier today than David had it back then. We certainly do. I have a poem I'd like to read in closing. It says, another year is dawning. Another year is dawning. Dear Master, let it be. In working or in waiting, another year with thee. Another year of mercies, of faithfulness and grace. Another year of gladness in the shining of thy face. Another year of progress, another year of praise, another year of proving thy presence all the days, another year of service, a witness of thy love, another year of training for holier work above. Another year is dawning, dear Master, let it be, on earth or else in heaven, another year with thee. Kneel for prayer.